Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
You're listening to season 4 of Confessions of a New Grad. This podcast is an ongoing story, so if you haven't listened to the first 3 seasons yet, I'd recommend starting there. Also, just a heads up, there's some swearing and adult themes in this show. Chapter 43, The House, The Kids, The Dream. Cold water stung as I splashed it over my face. I opened my eyes and gazed at my reflection. I looked sallow and peaky under the harsh white lighting. Two lines in the shape of the number 11 were forming in between my eyes from frowning so much. I leaned closer toward the mirror. There were faint lines around the corners of my eyes, too. Was I getting old? I'd never felt old, ever. Sure, when I'd turned 25, I'd had a mini freakout about still not being a professional writer, but I'd never looked old. Had I? Was it just the lighting? Maybe I was just tired. It was lunchtime, and this one 11th grader had been a pain all morning. I could hear the kids laughing in the halls. I couldn't believe I'd now seen 5 sets of seniors come and go. The first group of 12th graders I'd ever taught would be turning 23 this year. That was older than I was when I'd started this job. Maybe Apollo was right. Maybe I wasn't young anymore. Maybe it was time to start thinking about really growing up. I should be excited. Overjoyed that he was thinking about a future with me. So why wasn't I? And why did I feel so tired? Apollo needs to chill out, Lana was saying, her head resting on my lap. Her, Gemma, Bree, and I had taken advantage of it being one of the first sunny days in weeks by bolting to the beach after work. I mean, you have dreams, Brooklyn. You can't just throw them aside because he suddenly has baby fever. It's not that sudden. He did tell me this when we first got together. Well, did he tell you you'd be popping out a baby before you're 30, whether you like it or not? No, we didn't really get into a timeline. It was kind of a vague thing. And fair enough. Gemma said, looking over her shoulder to check if there were any cops around and refilling our mugs with wine. You were 23 when you got together, and he was only, what, 26? Yeah. He's being so unfair, Lana shook her head. I'm so glad I don't have to deal with men anymore. They're so dramatic. How are things going with, Jenny? Gemma supplied. Oh, ew. Jenny was weeks ago. I'm in love with Xenia now. Okay, I guffawed disbelievingly. What's that tone supposed to mean? It means that your dating habits haven't changed one bit. What are you talking about? They have so changed. I'm gay now. I feel like you were always gay, Lan, Bree said. Who knows? I really don't like overthinking it. Yeah, but apart from being gay, it's still the same old heartbreaker, Lana, except this time the victims are females. Lana smiled indulgently. I can't help it if everyone loves me, but trust me, Xenia's different. I think I, like, really love her. You said that about Steve, and that lasted, what, 6 months? I did love Steve. It's not my fault that I discovered my love for vaginas when we were together. But if I wasn't gay, I'd be with Steve for sure. He's the best. He really did not deserve everything we put him through, Brooklyn. She plucked a dandelion and held it thoughtfully in front of her. Anyway, Gemma segued, I think I need to get a real job. But you have a job as an artist. Lana looked confused. Yeah, but selling a few paintings a year isn't paying the bills. But do you even have that many bills? Lana asked. I thought your parents bought you that apartment. I still have to pay a few hundred bucks a month for the condo fees and groceries and stuff. How were you paying for those before? I asked. I've got savings, Gemma said, enigmatically. Lana and I frowned. Bree, clearly uncomfortable, said, I mean, fair enough to not want to waste all your savings. Yeah, Gemma said. And my parents are getting less supportive of my being an artist. Buying her an apartment downtown so that she could live at thousands of dollars less than what she'd be paying if she rented at market value sounded pretty supportive to me, but I didn't say anything. How are they not being supportive? Lana asked. They just want to know when I'll be making real money from art, and I can't give them a date because I don't know. It's frustrating. It's not like I want to not be making very much money, but art is just challenging. Yeah, writing's kind of similar, I said. I wish I could tell Apollo, okay, by this date, I'll be making X amount, but I just don't know. At least your parents are supportive, though. I mean, they support my decisions, but they haven't given me anything since loaning me my first few months of rent when I moved into my apartment after graduation. You're lucky you've got the steady income from teaching, though. I bristled. Over the past few years, she'd said this a few more times, and I had very little patience today. You could become a teacher too if you wanted, Jem. It would just take a little bit of work. I know, I'm just saying, you're lucky you have it now. I don't have that option. I'm gonna have to apply at a bar or a restaurant or something. So then, like Brooklyn said, get a teaching certificate and teach art, Lana suggested. But then I'd have to go back to school, Gemma pouted. So? Lana asked. So, I just wish I was where you three are, that's all. But we're all where we are because we did extra school after undergrad, Lana said blankly. Yeah, but it was easier then. It's so much harder now. It wasn't easy then, Bree said quietly. Why don't you just produce more paintings if you need the money so bad? Lana asked. It's not that easy, Gemma said. I can't just force it, you know. But everyone has to force it some days. That's what makes it a job. This isn't just a job for me, Lan. It's my passion. Well, I don't know what to tell you, Jem. Either it's your passion and you continue your current lifestyle producing, what, like 3 or 4 paintings a year? Or it's a job and you do it to make money. But in that case, you really need to, you know, do more work. Gemma opened her mouth affronted, but was interrupted by a guy around our age, smiling down at Lana and saying,
Excuse me, I know this is a little forward, but you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. Are you single by any?
Lana held up her hand like a stop sign and said, Sorry, no men. The guy's face fell and he turned away with his tail between his legs like a wounded puppy.
Wow, ruthless, Lan, Bree laughed.
See, I said, like we said, broken hearts scattered everywhere. That's neither my responsibility nor my fault, Lana shrugged.
I couldn't agree more, a gruff voice guffawed.
Lana, Bree, and I flinched. We knew that voice, but surely it couldn't be.
Braylon,
Gemma said breathlessly. Braylon, Lana repeated, horrified. We hadn't seen him in years, not since Gemma and I had come back from France and the two of them had spent a few months in a weird, open relationship that Gemma had tried to convince herself she was okay with when she wasn't.
How's the girls' night going?
He asked, plunking himself down between Gemma and Lana. Lana lifted herself up on her hands and moved a foot away from him, looking as though she'd just caught a whiff of a particularly foul fart. What are you doing here?
Well, it's almost dinner time, he shrugged.
Gemma's eyes were round as she took a large swig of her wine. Bree and I exchanged a bewildered look. Dinner? I asked.
So I figured we should probably grab groceries or something.
Should we? Bree's face was blank.
Yeah, I'm starving, Jem.
Gemma took another gulp of wine. Okay, what's going on? Lana rounded on Gemma.
Braylon, why don't you go get the groceries and I'll meet you at home? Gemma said, handing Braylon her keys.
At home? Bree's mouth was so wide, a passing butterfly almost fluttered inside it.
Okay, I actually don't have my wallet on me, though, so...
Gemma rummaged through her purse, took out her credit card, and handed it to him.
Great. Thanks, babe,
Braylon said, kissing Gemma on the cheek.
We should all catch up soon.
None of us answered him. He smiled obliviously and walked up the hill toward Davy Street.
Gemma, Bree said slowly.
I was gonna tell you guys, Gemma began.
Tell us what? You better not say that idiot is back in our lives, Gemma, Lana admonished. I'm still recovering from the Costa Rica trip.
Why did he call you babe, Gemma? Why? Bree whimpered.
Because we've been seeing each other for the past few weeks, okay? And I don't have to apologize for that. If it means we have to see him, like, ever, yeah, you do, Lana argued.
He's changed.
Seems the same to me.
Why'd he call your house his home, Gemma? Bree asked, looking as though she didn't want to know the answer.
Because he's been staying with me for a little bit.
It just keeps getting worse, Bree breathed.
Staying with you? Didn't you just say you only started seeing each other again a few weeks ago?
We did, but he's kind of in between places at the moment, and I've got my place, so...
What happened to the place he had with Steve?
Apparently Steve's fiancé is moving in.
Fiancé? I didn't know Steve was engaged.
Well, you wouldn't, would you, Lana? He blocked us all on everything after what happened, didn't he?
Oh, do not try and turn this around on me, Lana shouted.
Lana, calm down, I said. Thank you, Brooklyn. Gemma looked heartened. Maybe she thought I didn't mind Braylon, but really I was just slightly less dramatic about how much I despised him than Lana and Bree were. Can you start from the beginning, Jem? How did this happen?
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, a few weeks ago, we bumped into each other at the grocery store. I didn't think much of it. We just caught up a bit, and I told him about my new place in Yale Town and such, and then a few days later he reached out and asked if we could grab a drink, and, well, one thing led to another. Gemma, why? Don't you remember how much he hurt you the last time? I asked.
I know, but he's not Polly anymore. Really? Lana asked, disbelievingly.
Yeah, he said he was doing it because he thought it would make him less emotionally vulnerable. But he's been to therapy and realized that what he actually wants is true love.
And let me guess, he wants it with you. Lana rolled her eyes.
Why is that so hard to believe? Gemma asked.
Because it's Braylon, Lana shouted. I don't know why he's back, Gem, but trust me, it's not because he loves you.
Lana... Bree protested reproachfully.
Gemma straightened up. Just because you still gallivant about refusing to have a deep relationship doesn't mean everyone is doing that, Lana. I do have a deep relationship with Xenia. Anyway, whatever. I don't have to explain anything to you, but I'm telling you right now, I will not be around that man. He's vile and he's using you, and you can do so much better.
What would he be using me for?
Oh, I don't know. Sex? Your apartment? Kinda convenient how he reached out to you right when Steve kicked him out.
Fuck you, Lana. Guys, stop, Bree pleaded.
I don't need this. Lana stood up and grabbed her purse. Gemma, I love you, but I cannot support your decisions right now. Call me when you've kicked him out. She marched off.
Can you believe her?
Gemma rounded on Bree and I.
Well, Bree said slowly. Just be careful, Gem, I said. So you're taking her side? No, of course not. We just...
Bree began, but Gemma had already stood up.
I'm hungry. I'll see you guys later. But Gemma, we're supposed to be meeting Apollo and James for dinner soon.
Bree's words feebly tried to catch Gemma as she stormed off. In a moment, she disappeared into the crowd of picnickers. Bree and I each took a miserable swig of wine.
Well, this was nice, I said.
Bree grimaced, then squirmed. My purse, which she'd been sitting on, was vibrating violently. "What is going on with your phone?" she asked, tossing it to me. It was convulsing like a fish out of water, making it difficult to hold on to. I had 30 notifications. Buzz, buzz, buzz. Now 40. "Who's texting you so much?" "They're ink blot notifications," I said. "That place you publish your books?" "Yeah, but I can't see what they're about." I frowned and opened the app. My notifications were going up almost by the minute. At first, my eyes were drawn to the little pink notification symbol, watching the number increase to 50, 60. But then the app's homepage caught my attention. My book was on the front of it under the banner, "This month's editor's favorites." "Oh my God," I breathed. "What?" Bree asked, peering over my shoulder. I just got featured on the front page. "What does that mean?" "The editors pick 3 books a month to feature, and I guess this month they picked mine." "Really? Brooklyn, that's amazing. How many people use the app?" "I don't know, but I'm getting a lot of notifications." "Open them," Bree squealed. I obliged. There were 3 ways readers could interact with stories on Inkblot. They could review a book as a whole, comment on a specific section, or send authors private messages. So far, people had chosen to comment publicly. I opened up the first one that said, "This is exactly what I've been looking for. Thank you, Inkblot editors." Another, a little further down, said,
"Ooh, loving the world building."
A third, at the introduction of the heroine's main love interest, wrote,
"Oh, he's so hot."
"Brooklyn, this is amazing," Bree cried.
"What's amazing?"
Apollo and James were smiling down at us. "I just got featured on Inkblot. I felt like I was dreaming."
"What?"
Apollo asked. I passed him my phone weakly.
"Babe, this is incredible. I'm so proud of you."
He lifted me up and spun me around.
"Does this mean you'll finally let me read it?"
No.
"But now I know it's on something called Inkblot, so..."
"Please don't read it, Apollo." He shrugged.
"If you insist, but one day I'm gonna convince you to let me. Maybe you can give me a copy when you get your book deal."
"Whoa, we'll see. I only just got featured."
"But don't a lot of people who get featured on there get book deals?"
"How do you know so much about this?" Bree asked.
"I mean, I just assumed. It's a pretty big platform, isn't it?"
"It depends on how many people like the book," I said.
"They're gonna love it."
He kissed me. "Celebratory drinks are in order," Bree said, and the 4 of us made our way to a sunny patio.
"I'm so proud of you, Brooklyn,"
Apollo said, later that night when he got into bed and put his arms around me. "Thanks," I said, nuzzling into him.
"Man, today has been an exciting day."
"Yeah? What else happened?"
"Well, I wasn't going to say anything earlier because I wanted to celebrate you, but my buddy, Joe, you know Joe."
"The realtor?"
"Yeah, he's got this place in Langley that's just about to go on the market. It would be perfect, and it's a great deal because the owners have gone bankrupt and want to sell it quickly."
"Langley?"
"Yeah, I know it's a little further than you'd want, but it's perfect in every other way."
I didn't say anything. Langley was like a 45-minute drive from the city without traffic, and the transit out there was terrible. It was a nice place, but it was a true suburb, not anywhere near where I wanted to live. And Apollo knew that.
"Anyway, we can discuss it in the morning."
He kissed my forehead. Within minutes, he was asleep. But I lay there for hours, listening to his peaceful breathing and the noises of the city, imagining how quiet our life would be if we moved to Langley.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. That's it for this episode. If you want to find out what happens next right now, subscribe in Apple Podcasts to binge all 10 episodes ad-free. Otherwise, the next episode will be out on Monday. If you're enjoying the show, please consider giving it 5 stars on Apple and Spotify, writing a review, posting it on social media, and telling a friend. This is an independent podcast, so stuff like that really helps get the word out and support the show. Confessions of a New Grad is written, narrated, and produced by me, Greta Craig. Thank you to the Canada Council for the Arts for supporting seasons 3 and 4. For exclusive news and bonus content, you can follow the show on Instagram at newgradpodcast. Music is licensed through MusicBed and Soundstripe libraries. You can find the soundtracks in the episode descriptions. Artwork and script editing are by Rebecca Montgomery.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.